Cathedral Hall when King Brunner had made his legendary return to the battlefield to meet the charge of Obuld's thousands in the valley known as Keeper's Dale, beyond the complex's western gate. For all his battles, though, the Stonehammer Patriarch had never truly distinguished himself, and his greatest accomplishment, so it now seemed, was his longevity. Certainly he was respected among the denizens of Citadel Felbar, as none would dispute, but this new job he had been given. Mutton Chops served as a trainer now, typically considered a position of high respect and regard, except that his trainees included dwarflings, the oldest of this particular group being 12. These elders in his charge invariably ended up the worst fighters of that age group.
"Arar's boy's not showing much," remarked Rocky Warcrown,
third cousin to the king twice removed. The old Stonehammer wanted to argue the point, but he could only sigh and tug his beard again, for across the room, little Arar, who was just past his 9th birthday, engaged in battle with a lad from the Argoot clan, a promising and powerful 10-year-old. Brian Argoot swept his shield out far before him and off to the left, driving young Arar back a step. Without missing a step, without the slightest hesitation, Brian leaped forward as he twisted around, sweeping his weapon, a wooden axe, across ferociously. Arar ducked, just barely, and stumbled backward a few steps. Brian Argoot pursued with a series of chops and swipes that kept the younger dwarfling off balance all the way.
"He's a head taller than little Arar,"
Mutton Chops remarked, but Rocky's snort made his excuse seem quite ridiculous.
"A year older, too, then," said Rocky. "Ye think that's for making any difference?"
The concern in his tone struck Mutton Chops profoundly, for many eyes were upon this dwarfling known to everyone in Felbar as Little Arar. For as long as anyone could remember, the Round Shields had served as captains of Citadel Felbar's garrison, a proud tradition of fearsome warriors and grand and loyal subjects to the War Crowns. Reginald Roundshield, R.R.'s father, had been among the most popular and respected dwarves in all of Felbar until his death at the hands of rogue orcs when little R.R. was but a toddler. Everyone in Felbar wanted little R.R. to succeed, to step up in the tradition of his father and those grandfathers before him. This was the security of the clan, after all, the solid dependability of generational continuity, the son of a son of a son of a son of a captain. But little R.R. wasn't showing that kind of promise, and even King Emerus himself had noted as much on his last visit to Mutton Chop's training grounds. Rocky Warcrown sucked in his breath as a last heartbeat twist brought little R.R.'s shield up just in time to deflect an axe swipe that would surely have knocked the child silly. Mutton Chops, too, winced, but he came out of it more quickly, his veteran eye noting something here that he hadn't before. And with a hunch in his gut, speaking a different story to him than what his eyes were telling him. Young Reginald fought the urge to jab the tip of his own wooden axe into the exposed armpit of Brian Argoot. How would a 9-year-old dwarfling respond? Brunner kept asking himself, kept reminding himself. The awkwardness of the attacks, and not just those of Brian, who was quite formidable compared to most of the others in this class, constantly caught the old dwarf king and a young body off his guard. But they were only at the training grounds once a 10-day, after all, and this was but rudimentary training. Muttonchop's Stonehammer's job was merely to acquaint the dwarflings with the sensation of giving and taking a hit, and to allow them their first opportunities of the rolling spin and slash, or the shield rush, or any of the other building blocks of straightforward, basic dwarf fighting. For Brunner, though, as many times as he might remind himself of this, the whole experience proved mind-numbingly simple. He was well acquainted with this new body he had been given, and had been for years. Brian Argoot came forward with a powerful downward chop, but one that could only fall short, Brunner recognized, and as he did, he knew the movement to be quite obviously a diversion for the coming shield rush. He was moving at the same time as Brian, cleverly disguising his dodge as a slip and stumble. As Brian came charging forward, little R.R. fell forward and to the side, tucking his head under his lifting shield and rolling behind the approaching opponent. he resisted the urge to kick out Brian's trailing foot and send the lad sprawling to the floor. He liked Brian, after all, thought him a promising dwarfling fighter, and didn't want to embarrass him.
"Bah, but good thing he tripped o'er his own feet, eh?" Rocky Warcrown remarked. "Or to be sure that the Argood kid would have flapjacked him!"
Rocky laughed, obviously picturing the event, for the term flapjack referred to pancakes, and a flapjacked fighter was one laid out flat, sprawled under the crush of a shield rush, truly among the most comical outcomes to be found on the training grounds.
"Aye,"
Muttonchops replied, but without conviction. And he was nodding as he spoke, though surely not in agreement with his companion's assessment.
"Ah, but you weens to be heartbroken to learn that her one son, the heir to the Round Shield legacy, is just a flat-footed oaf,"
Rocky said.
"Poor old R.R.'s turning in his grave, don't ye doubt?"
But the wily old veteran Muttonchops did doubt.
"He's bored,"
he muttered.
"Eh?"
asked Rocky Warcrown. And he followed Muttonchop's stare across the grounds just in time to see Brian Argoot launch an endgame assault, what Muttonchops had taught the dwarflings to think of as the killing frenzy. Brian's wooden axe swooped in with abandon, from the left, then right, overhead and stabbing straight forward, over and over again. He continually pressed and bulled ahead, purely offensive in design, keeping RR on his heels the whole time and almost hitting him, almost, with every devastating strike. Almost, but never quite. Rocky sucked in his breath repeatedly, obviously expecting little RR to take one on the chin in short order. Muttonchop suppressed a knowing laugh and nod, and wasn't the least bit surprised when Brian Argoot finally relented, and RR, still back on his heels, hadn't actually been touched. The teacher slapped his fingers against the chimes hanging beside him, signaling the end of the matches, and soon after dismissed his 20 trainees.
"He did well to keep his beardless head on his shoulders," Rocky admitted, "but ne'er got close to hitting the Argoot lad."
"Aye. Brian Argoot's a promising one. He'll find hisself with the stubble group soon enough,"
Muttonchops agreed. The stubble group, referring to the dwarf teenagers, their little beards just beginning to sprout. The old veteran looked around, then settled his gaze on Rocky Warcrown.
"Be a good friend, then," he asked, "and see to getting them off to their homes. I got something what's needin' to be done."
"Stubble group's coming in next, ain't they?"
Rocky asked.
"Was hoping to see the Fellhammer sisters. Words that them two might be joining a battle